The Monday Morning Joe podcast is presented by Lakeland Automall, Ford and Hyundai, and Discount Garage Doors. How would you like a $500 Amazon gift card just for buying the new vehicle that you're going to purchase anyway? That's the great opportunity for listeners of this podcast right now at Lakeland Ford. Check out LakelandFord.com. Go to Lakeland Ford. Let them know you're a Bucks fan, a stick carrier, a Joe Bucks fan reader, whatever you want to let them know. And for any new vehicle you buy, there's no gimmick, no extra, no whatever. You get an extra $500 Amazon gift card with a new vehicle purchase. The end of the year is upon us. It's really the best time to buy your next vehicle from Lakeland Automall, Ford, and Hyundai. Dealers simply must eliminate as much inventory as they can before year's end. So dealer discounts are at an all-time high, and so are factory rebates. You can actually save up to $12,000 off your new vehicle. Plus, interest rates are at an all-time low, and most vehicles are 0% APR for 6 years. Lakeland Automall, Ford, and Hyundai, when you add up the dealer discounts, factory rebates, interest savings, and top trade values, man, you easily see why the end of the year is the time to get it done. Go to LakelandAutomall.com, LakelandFord.com, and remember the deal, the $500 Amazon gift card from Lakeland Ford. Just let them know, Joe Bucks fan, on your new vehicle purchase, no gimmick. And I wanted to thank, I was out yesterday at Rookie Sports Bar and Grill with Rock Riley, Bucks fans watching the game, and Rock's video was actually presented by Discount Garage Doors. Guys from Discount Garage Doors were out there, big Bucks fans, but even more important, they service 18 counties in Florida. They're a local Tampa Bay area company. And remember their name, Discount Garage Doors. They're much less expensive than the competitors out there. They've been doing it a long time. Tremendous company. DGDoors.com is the website. DGDoors.com. You can use your Joe Bucks fan code for 10% off. But more important, free service call for everybody. They'll come out to you. They'll give you an estimate, a diagnosis. They'll do the work if you want. But if not, they just leave you the estimate and the diagnosis. You can shop around. No hassle. No charge up front like most companies do. They'll charge you $50-$80 for a service call. And maybe they'll wipe it out if you do the work. But Discount Garage Doors, they'll come out to you 7 days a week. Free service call. Take good care of you. And they've got a wide selection of new doors, or they'll replace or repair your current door. Give them a call. 1-866-420-DOOR, or just go to dgdoors.com. Don't forget your Joe Bucks fan discount. Well, Bucks fans, man, difficult times because the Bucks just keep losing in such stupid fashion. And, you know, you watch the games, and sure, I predicted the Bucks would lose to Green Bay. Third consecutive road game. The defense has been atrocious. Jameis coming back. We didn't even know if that necessarily would happen, if he would get some soreness before the game, but he'd probably be rusty. So it's not a shock that they lost. Not a shock that they lost in overtime. But it is a shock when you hold a quarterback to under 100 yards of passing, when you're moving the ball, when you dominate time of possession, when you finally get a 100-yard rusher. Oh, big surprise, it wasn't Doug Martin. Listeners of this podcast know that I don't have to go on another rant. Doug Martin didn't even belong on this team this year, and I think you're starting to see why. And just a nugget on that, if you listen to Anthony Becht, former Buccaneers tight end, was on sports radio this morning, Monday, and he was asked about Peyton Barber. And I'm going to type it up probably later today or tomorrow, whenever I get to it. But he delivered a beautiful rant detailing that, you know what? Peyton Barber showed to be a much more patient runner, a guy who let his blocking develop, a guy who ran with trust for the guys in front of him, even when it didn't work out. And when it didn't work out, he powered through to gain positive yardage. And, you know, what do you know? Next thing you know, you got a 100-yard rusher, and he can catch out of the backfield. So it's not just me. Anthony Beck could see the tremendous difference between a Peyton Barber approach to being a full-time rusher, not a part-time. It's very different when you know you're going to get 18, 20 carries or be the man on that day, whatever that means, 12 carries, 30 carries, whatever. So we saw what that meant. But you got a good running game yesterday, and they even got a couple of sacks. Totally made the Packers one-dimensional, and they couldn't win. And I told you a while ago that I just couldn't pick this team to win anymore because they had forgotten how to win. And that's really the essence of sports. If you played sports on any level, man, you know the teams have to learn how to win, figure out how to win. Doesn't work if you're on the basketball team that loses by 6 points every game. It just doesn't work. You got to win. That's why you play. So yeah, the Bucks won a couple of games, beat the Jets, beat Miami. I don't take anything away from those victories. The Jets are obviously proven to be a solid team this year. No denying it. Hard to believe with Josh McCown, but they're playing very hard, and they put up a ton of points yesterday. And you, look, even Miami had a blowout win yesterday. So any win in the NFL, you're never going to hear it discounted from me. You're never going to hear the signature win line from me that, oh, they didn't get a signature win. Sure, it's great to beat a good team. But, you know, unless you're playing the Browns or the Bears or the Giants, and of course the Bucks played the Bears and the Giants this year and got wins. But a win is a win, just like the Packers beat the Bucks there yesterday. So what really happened? Where are we all going to go with our angst and our upset and our feelings toward this Bucks team right now? So what stood out for me? Well, I'm going to go right to Jameis. And I got to say this. Look, Jameis looked rusty. He made boneheaded plays. There's the near picks. And it's not that it's a near pick. It's a throw that really never should have been thrown. That's a better way to look at it. Like, I'm not sitting here counting near picks, but terrible throws is probably a better way to say it. There were some terrible throws, some bad decision-making, what, throwing a pass 2-3 steps beyond the line of scrimmage. That's high school stuff. His fumble slash interception, whatever you want to call it. It was as if he didn't learn anything from doing the same thing with Julius Peppers on his back when he coughed the ball up and tried to make a ill-advised shovel pass. And the Panthers picked that up and scored off that turnover. It's just he's not learning. And that's what's frustrating. It doesn't take away from his talent. But, man, you have to get better. It doesn't matter who you are. It's not a Jameis thing. Whoever keeps making the same mistakes, you've got to stop repeating the same mistakes. That's maturity. That's being a better football player. Doesn't matter the position. And it's troubling, no matter how well Jameis played, that he continues to make the same mistakes. And it was a very costly mistake. Cost him a touchdown. Gifted them a touchdown. A bad offensive team gifted a touchdown. Major momentum changer. And sure, on that drive where he threw past the line of scrimmage, he came back and on the next play got a touchdown. I'm not saying Jameis is all bad. His stats obviously look good. The Bucks moved the ball. They own time of possession. But Jameis did what he should do with a whole cadre of weapons and a running game. That's what he should kind of look like. He's just got to be smart. And he didn't really protect the football very well as he needed to in this game. But it's not his fault. It's just all part of the big picture of the Buccaneers not knowing how to put it all together. You know, one thing that I did write, I'll stick with the offense first. One thing I did write, maybe you read it, maybe you didn't. I know some people read everything on JoeBucksFan.com. Some skim the headlines, read one thing here or there, move on. You know, obviously that's the way it goes. But DeSean Jackson, here we are in December, and we all know what we thought when the Bucs signed DeSean Jackson. But the statistic that in 7 games this season, 7 out of 12, DeSean Jackson has 40 yards receiving or less. 7 out of 12 games. I mean, you could get Freddie Martino to get 40 yards receiving or less in 7 out of 12 games. You don't need DeSean Jackson to do that. And it would be one thing if he was opening up taking the top off the defense. But he's not doing that. I don't think there's any real fear of the DeSean Jackson deep threat running around the league. Doesn't mean they don't have it in mind with his speed, but he hasn't been the deep threat. And I don't see Mike Evans run a wild because he's not getting the double teams. So what have the Bucs actually gotten with their $11 million investment this season in DeSean Jackson? And that's really troubling. That's very bad for Dirk Cutter. You got to find a way to maximize all these weapons. Otherwise, they're worthless. Worthless. It's like having a pile of money and nothing to spend it on. Or a ton. Man, I stayed up too late last night for a good analogy. But, you know, the weapons without using them is ridiculous. This isn't like the Cold War Russians or something with peace through strength. you're trying to use these weapons, blow up defenses. And, you know, honestly, I hate to say it. Either the Bucks have too many weapons or they have the wrong offensive coordinator because he just hasn't figured them out. And, you know, look at yesterday. Cameron Brate blows up two touchdowns, both of the exceptional variety. And, you know, Cutter predicted this on Friday. Cutter was asked on his radio show, hey, you know, O.J. Howard, he seems to be getting back in the mix, and what's the deal with that? And Cameron Brate, though, he's not, you know, he's not getting the touches, something like that. And Cutter said, look, you can't explain all this stuff. There's a lot of chemistry issues at play. Jameis has great chemistry with Brate, which Cutter's been saying for years. And O.J. Howard seems to have excellent chemistry with Ryan Fitzpatrick. So that's not meant to have anybody feel good, but it's troubling. I mean, you can't have two stud tight ends and not know how to use them. It's a waste. Cameron Brate's not a good enough blocker to sort of get away with that. I don't know. It's just frustrating. It's frustrating. You know the Bucks aren't going to throw for 450 yards every game, but you got to find a better way to use these guys. And then when you look at the evaluation of talent, and essentially that's what Dirk Cutter is doing as a play caller, evaluating his talent and then calling plays to see how that talent fits the defense, it makes you wonder a little bit about how he evaluates the talent and the mismatches after a full season of running with Doug Martin when the guy was dreadful last year, was suspended, had a drug problem, comes back this year, did nothing special in preseason, did nothing special when he got here. Yes, he had one very solid game, one good game against the Patriots defense, which going into this weekend was the worst run defense in the NFL, and it's been bad from there. But he stuck with him and stuck with him and stuck with him. That's not maximizing your weapons. That's not a good evaluation of talent. So I wonder, Cutter's failure on the running back front, where is he failing? How is he failing with the rest of his weapons? Because the Bucs should not be scoring 20 points against a bad Packers defense when they were scored on the opening drive. And they were moving the ball with a running game. And they own the clock. You got to put up more points than that. It's just it's frustrating stuff. And there's a lot of pain out there with Bucks fans who really can't answer the question, what does this team do well? What do they do well? They got an excellent field goal kicker who's hitting 88% of his kicks. Hey, if things break right, you could see Patrick Murray in the Pro Bowl, if it breaks right. But what do they do well? They don't stop the run. They don't rush the passer. Quan Alexander's having an off year. And you look at his tackling, man, there's some bad tackling from Quan. And the burst seems to be gone on the consistent level we saw it before. Now, it's probably his hamstring injury. Maybe not. I don't know. But some of the tackling and the angles, bad by Quan. He's taken a step back this year. You know, Ryan Smith, still overmatched. It's just, it's frustrating. But, you know, you've got Justin Evans, appears to be a playmaker. Very frustrating team, because what do they do well? Hopefully now, to close this season, they can run the ball well. Hopefully they can get both tight ends working, because they're both healthy and obviously raring to go. And, of course, what's on everybody's mind is the coach and the GM and the future. Rightfully so, when you're 4-8 in December. So let me get right to Dirk Cutter, the head coach, and go there now. And real quick, before we go there, thank you for listening. Remember, Discount Garage Doors, dgdoors.com. Use your Joe Bucks Fan discount code. Free service call 7 days a week. 1-866-420-DOOR. Lakeland Automall Ford and Hyundai. Get there. Get to lakelandautomall.com, lakelandford.com. Remember, at Lakeland Ford, any new vehicle, no gimmick, extra $500 Amazon gift card for buying a new car, and you can still get your 0%, your lifetime warranty, the rock bottom internet price, and that extra $500 just for mentioning Joe Bucks Fan. So that's pretty cool. As far as Dirk Cutter goes, there are still four more games. And I know a lot of people don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear it. You want to hear 4-8. This guy sucks. They're losing in every possible way. He's not getting Mike Smith to adjust. He's responsible for the defense. Jameis can't get past his elementary problems that he has, even though he's a good talent and he's done a lot of good things. He's misevaluating guys. He can't use the weapons. What the hell's going on? We learned how to win last year. Now we forgot. We're 5-10, I believe. I believe that's the record. 5-10 since the 5-game winning streak. So what are we doing? Where are we going? I try to give you some different takes here on the podcast because I'm a different take kind of guy, and you can get regular takes everywhere else. And plus, you know, we try to keep it a little more interesting here at Joe Bucks Fan World Headquarters, and that's just the way it goes. But I want to put it out there now that, you know, the Buccaneers' job, as far as getting a new head coach, we're all, everybody's, you know, intrigued by John Gruden. Maybe he really wants to come coach here. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he wants to get back into coaching. Who knows what John Gruden really wants to do. But is this Buccaneers' job really a good job? And frankly, it's not. It's really not. Head coaches in the NFL, the good ones, are extremely competitive people. Extremely competitive. And they want to win, obviously. But, you know, this Bucs job, when you're really honest about it, and you look at the division, where you have to compete, and you look at the NFC South with Drew Brees and Matt Ryan and Cam Newton and the strength, depth, and experience of those teams and their excellent coaches, you want to walk in to the NFC South if you're a coach and climb that uphill climb, not knowing how many years you're really going to get to do it? That's a good job? That's a good opening? It's not. It is not. It is a tough spot for any coach who may be in demand to want to come to. That's just the pure reality. Now, I realize there are 32 head coaching gigs in the NFL. They're all valuable, blah, blah, blah. Some are better than others. You know it. Everybody knows it. And this job right now, as it's constructed, with Jameis Winston, who is young and talented but erratic, who has a possible looming NFL suspension, 6 games over his head, with a defensive line that is very much in shambles. Your best player turns 30 in February. And what else do you got? Not much. Will Golston, a run defender, a run stuffer who has no pass rushing skills, and a guy who's taken a little bit of a step back this year. He was a better run defender previously. D-line in shambles. Cornerback position in shambles. Maybe you get Brent Grimes to come back, maybe not. You got a lot of needs. You probably need a running back, although I'm very curious to see what Peyton Barber does in a full-time role with 4 games to go. There are plenty of good running backs who've been undrafted, so I'm not writing that off. You got a lot of weapons, but man, it is not a good job. I'm sorry, it is not a good job in the NFL. And look what the Rams had to do. Are the Glazers willing to take a chance on a 30-year-old head coach and go way out of the box and do what the Rams did and bring in a guy in a very tough division? I don't know. But you know what? The NFC South is way tougher than the NFC West. And we all know that. And those quarterbacks, I've said it once, I've said it 100 times since Josh McCown got here, you can't win in the NFL if you've got the 4th best quarterback in your division. And I think right now, as I sit here at Joe Bucks Fan World Headquarters, is Dirk Cutter the best guy to take Jameis to the next level next year? Yeah, probably. Jameis knows the offense. He's got chemistry with receivers. He feels good about it. They're actually the 13th ranked offense in the NFL right now, just by yards alone. Maybe they can improve going forward here in the last 4 games. And Dirk probably is the guy to get the most out of Jameis next year, which is an important year for Jameis in his 4th year of his rookie contract. Again, you got the looming suspension. I don't know how attractive this Buccaneers job is. I really don't. And you're not going to convince me otherwise, as long as the Saints, Atlanta, and Carolina are probably going to end up in the playoffs. So just something to think about when everybody gets all crazy for the next coach. You need to be able to do better. It's a tough call. Now, GM is another story. Jason Light needs a miracle finish. He needs, as I wrote last night, he needs Team Glazer to sit around the conference room table and say, man, Jason's really done a good job with the draft. Are we sure we have a guy who's going to be better in the draft? And for Light, for that to happen for Light, he needs guys to come on strong down this season. His rookies, Justin Evans, 3 picks. I think that's top 12 or 13 in the NFL. He needs Justin Evans to finish well. Kendall Beckwith to push through. Godwin looks good every time he gets on the field. Donovan Smith has revived. 2 good games in a row now for Donovan Smith. Watch the film if you don't believe it. 2 excellent games for Donovan Smith. We'll see how Benenock bounces back. But these young players that the Bucs have, including Peyton Barber, who is an undrafted guy by Light. I mean, ultimately, Light brought Martin back with Dirk Cutter. That's a joint decision. But, hey, it was Cutter who decides on the talent once they're in the house. So all the young guys really need to help Light save his job. For him to survive, he's got to have Team Glazer wondering, Jason's really good in the draft, man. I don't know if we want to mess with this. Maybe we can get him some help in free agency or tell him he's got to hire a new pro personnel guy, something. Because obviously Light's been awful in free agency. But without that, I can't see Jason Light coming back. I just don't see the Glazers embracing that unless his draft picks really close strong and he can sell them without having to sell them. They can start to wonder about those drafts. Even a revival by Kwon Alexander is going to help Jason Light. And he needs everything he can get down the stretch here, and I don't rule it out. I really don't rule out them bringing it back Light on a one-year deal. He's got no more contract, but, you know, if they say, hey, Jason, we're going to give you one more year. Dirk knows it's put up or shut up next year. We're going to give you one more year. I'm not saying I'm for it. I'm not saying I'm against it, but I don't think any decision has been made. And as far as Dirk goes, the only thing I can say is that he's got to win another game. He can't close out with 4 wins and a 6-game losing streak on the heels of what was a 5-game losing streak. And that can't be sold to fans. That can't be sold to players. That Cutter knows what he's doing. It's just messy. And if they do lose 4 straight, rest assured the defense is still brutal. And that's a whole nother mess. So that, I believe, is the state of the coaching situation. Do the Glazers have their feelers out this morning, looking around for coaches and tapping their sources who help them look at coaching candidates and the people they work with who help them have a special folder in the cone of silence in their vault that lets them know, hey, this might be our GM, this might be our next coach. We're always looking like every team does. Maybe they do make that call this morning. I don't know. The mysteries of Team Glazer are hard to pin down, but that's where I think it stands. I don't think there's any decision been made. I'm not even sure there's some great grand desire by the Glazers to bring back Gruden. Forget what Gruden wants. You know, the Glazers are a three-headed decision-making body. Ed Glazer, Brian Glazer, Joel Glazer, they fired John Gruden. They fired him for reasons. They fired him, period. It's been 9 years, but it doesn't mean they, who know John Gruden better than anybody, believe that he's a fit with Jameis and this current roster and all that. There's a lot to it and a lot we're never going to know, at least for a while. A couple things more on yesterday's game. Also want to mention the podcast you're listening to, Monday Morning Joe. I realized I didn't mention my name earlier. Doesn't really matter. I'm Joe, but I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com, and greatly appreciate how much all of you have helped take this podcast to excellent levels. You know, there are different mechanisms to judge podcast listening, and this has been quite strong for a once-a-week podcast that only started in late July. We are in a great position, and I appreciate all the good feedback that I've gotten on a variety of levels, including yesterday in person at Rookie's Sports Bar and some of the notes and stuff that I get. The podcast, subscribe, podbean.com. Google Play, iTunes, all subscribing means is you get a free alert when the podcast uploads, so you know it's there. So in case you don't want to listen to it off JoeBucksFan.com, you get an alert. And you can leave a review of the podcast. Those are pretty cool. It's fun to look at, listen to, see them, and I don't care if they're negative. The negativity doesn't bug me. Just keep it real. That's all I ask on those. Let's see. All right. Julio Jones, I wanted to mention, just the ridiculousness of Julio Jones having two catches yesterday for 24 yards, I believe, 24, 26 yards, whatever it was. Come on now. Julio Jones against the Vikings. I understand Xavier Rhodes is a stud. I didn't watch the game. It doesn't really matter. Two catches for Julio Jones, who's not having a good year. I made that point on the Ira Kaufman podcast for those of you who listen. Not having a good year. I bet you Mike Smith, if you really got him cornered, would say, you know what? Julio's been having a down year. He's failed in these situations. He's having a rough year. We thought we could cover him this way. And, you know, obviously that was a disaster, but it was almost the equivalent of Adrian Peterson running absolutely wild on the Bucs in Arizona and then coming out the next week and dropping a serious clunker. So it's just a mess. The offensive line, I got to give those guys a hand yesterday. Aside from Evan Smith, who showed too much rust for a guy who's played a lot of center, especially at Lambeau Field. He blew the snap count, cost the Bucs in the red zone with that bad exchange. He had a penalty that I know our photographer for JoeBucksFan.com, who was out there, swears Evan Smith didn't touch anybody on that key penalty on the late drive in the fourth quarter. But still, he got the penalty, and I haven't seen it yet. But not a good game by him at all. They were blown up the gut. That's where most of the sacks came from, and on the right side, not from Donovan Smith. Sweezy, fail, issues up the middle. Pamphiel, Smith, and Benenock had a rough day in pass protection, but you know they run blocked well. And I agreed with Anthony Becht. Peyton Barber showed a lot more patience, and sometimes that's key. You know, patience, no panic, running downhill. You know, again, no surprise that Charles Sims and Jaquizz Rodgers also had good days running the football. Much more patient runners, and they got into a better rhythm, I think, without Martin being in there. I'm not going to dwell on that. Justin Evans, kudos to him for the interception. I think if you go back and watch the replay of that interception, you're going to see Chris Conte. He's right next to Evans after the interception, and he doesn't celebrate. He doesn't come over and pat him on the head, or, you know, he's not excited at all. Maybe he got hurt. I always leave open the option that a guy got hurt or stung on a play and is kind of reeling it for 5 seconds. But Conte basically showed no emotion when his fellow safety got an interception. And Conte was out there blocking for him, and then the play ended. He didn't come and congratulate him. It was very odd. Sometimes that can be telling. It reminds me of last year when we saw Vincent Jackson. Bucks scored a touchdown. He wasn't too far away. He was on like the 3-yard line, turned around, and walked away with his head down. So I don't know. I don't know if there's an issue there or not. I've heard some things about the safety position from multiple sources, and I think that's just not a good room, and the defensive backs in general are not a good situation there. Some of you might have noticed on Twitter yesterday, Jonathan Banks, the former Buccaneer cornerback, who was with this regime for a short time before being let go, he sent out a tweet to us at Joe Bucks Fan saying, "Hey, Joe, you're my favorite Bucks reporter. How you doing? No surprise, Mike Smith or something like that is struggling or whatever." And with a couple of emojis and things like that. And that was pretty cool. But it also sort of lets you know that we have some sources you may not think we have. And you know, do we talk to players? Sure. On different levels, former players and things, just sort of maybe gave a little hint behind the scenes at Joe Bucks Fan, where we do get a lot of information, not sit here blowing up rumors and all sorts of speculation, but we try to speak intelligently, and sometimes that information is more than what it really seems. Swaggy, still sackless, although he might, if the NFL reviews it, he might get half a sack on one of Will Clark's two sacks yesterday. I think that would be fair, but they probably won't even send it into the league. So Swaggy remains sackless, and what a mess with him playing full-time now for Clinton McDonald and splitting, getting most of the time with Silver Saliga, whatever his name is, getting a piece of it with McDonald out with his back. I wonder how Swaggy's going to recover from all those snaps, overtime, and everything, man. But, you know, there's no excuse for the Bucs defense. They weren't on the field that much yesterday. The Bucs dominated time of possession. And that last play, and that's what I'll leave you with, that last play, go back and watch it. Can somebody tell me what Keith Tandy is doing? What is he doing? on the last play. He's like, what are you doing? He's like half dogging it, half like clueless. I don't know. It was really sickening that the defense just rolled over and they ran it right down their throat when everybody knew what was coming, that the Packers weren't going to take some big chances through the air. Just sad stuff. All right, JoeBucksFan.com. Another week of stuff coming at you, from podcasts to articles to quotes to all kinds of stuff. I know Lee DeKemper, who's on assignment out in Green Bay, was at the game. He's still got plenty of locker room stuff to share and so much more. Follow us at Joe Bucks Fan. Check out all the podcasts. They're at joebucksfan.com/podcasts. Ira Kaufman, the Scuttlebucks, Bucks Uncensored, the Free Stretch, Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Am I forgetting any? I don't know. All right. Thanks again. Discount Garage Doors, Lakeland Automall Ford and Hyundai. We'll see you next week.